right. Man, today I'm wrapping up this series on spiritual plagiarism. And so if you haven't been a part of this, you haven't been here the last few weeks, we looked at some different things. We looked at meditation. We looked at manifesting. We looked at karma and how all these things are really things that Eastern religions and the world have kind of ripped off from the Lord and kind of twisted and manipulated. And so today, wrapping this series up, I was thinking the other day about phrases that people say, right? There's things we say that when you really think about it, you're like, that's strange. Like I've heard it said before, and so I say it, and then it comes down to it, I start to think about it, like, what does that actually mean? And so at lunch the other day, it was actually last Sunday, I heard somebody say that somebody was a spitting image of somebody else, and I thought, that's weird. Like, I know what it means. You know what it means, right? I mean, if he's a spitting image of you, like, we know what that means, but it's weird. Like, why do we say that? I don't think I actually want to be the spitting image of anything. Like, it doesn't sound really that appealing or anything, but we know what it means, right? You kind of look the same. Like, you know, Xander, you could say, is a spitting image of me, right? He looks a lot like me. We have a lot of similarities. It makes sense because, you know, he's my son. But to be a spitting image, if you want to know what that means, okay, for anybody who doesn't know the actual meaning, it means that the child looks so much like their parent that they could have been spit from their mouth. Now, who wants to be the spitting image of their parent? Like, besides, well, Landon, but I mean, your parents are great looking. You should want to look like them. But you know, I mean, it sounds kind of gross when you think about what it actually means. And so my point is, there's some weird things that we say, and we maybe kind of know the meaning, but we don't actually know the root of it. Like, where did that come from? Where did that begin? And so today, as we wrap up this series, I'm going to look at something that is common for people to say, and you maybe haven't said it yourself, but it's unbelievable how many Christians I have heard say this, because it sounds like it could be a good thing. But somebody, when they're sick, right? Somebody's going through hard times. This is kind of one of those Facebook theology kind of things. It's like I see it over and over and over. Oh, well, I'm so sorry you're going through this. Prayers and good vibes. Sending you prayers and good vibes today. And there's this belief, I think, even between among Christians, that those things kind of go together. I'm sending prayers and good vibes. But I'm going to tell you that good vibes is one of those things that is ultimately spiritual plagiarism. It's ultimately a thing that should be a godly thing that the enemy has taken and twisted. And the thing about good vibes is, I think the heart behind it is well-intentioned, just like the other things that we've looked at throughout this series. The heart behind it is good intentioned. It's a way of showing that you care. It's a way of saying that I empathize with you. It's a way of saying, you know, I feel for you, and I hope that you feel better. But just because something is well intentioned does not mean it is good. Just because something is well intentioned doesn't mean it is godly. It doesn't mean that it's God honoring. And so when you think about good vibes, some of you have heard that or said that phrase, and you may not realize where it actually comes from, but it is rooted in New Age and Eastern religion. New Age, if you don't know what that means, it really, the simplest definition of the New Age religion is, it is an alternative to Western religion. You know what that is code for? It's alternative to Christian, is what it means. It's not what it says, but that's what it means. And so good vibes are rooted in New Age and Eastern religion, because here's what it is. It's this belief that we are made up of energy forces or vibrations, and that everything in the universe vibrates at its own frequency, and we've got to connect ourselves to higher or better vibrations. They believe that you can elevate your vibrations in order to fully realize your perfected spiritual potential as a self-God. This is what it means to have good vibes. It means to connect with those other vibes that are greater than you, that are higher than you, that are better than you, to come to a place of spiritual perfection as a self-God. we are not just some formation of vibrations. That's not what we are. That's not what I am. Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created man in what? His own image. Created him in his own image, the image of God. He created them, male and female. He created them. You and I are made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. And we have a creator. We all have that creator. Some of us, hopefully all of us, have a Savior who is that same creator, who is the Lord, and that is Jesus, who we look to for every single need in our lives. We don't need connection to some kind of vibration. Listen, I'm a fan of vibration. As a kid, I loved having a bass system in my car. It was one of my greatest childhood memories, and I got to install one in Xander's car the other day, and I was like, I stayed out there a little too long and had it turned up a little too high. I was like, I'm too old for this, right? And now I understand why it bothered my dad whenever I had one as a kid, because when you get old, it does kind of bother your head a little bit. But I like good music. I like vibration. I like some of those things. But listen, when we think about our lives, that we are created of something of value, of importance, and it's not just a happenstance vibration or frequency that we need to link to a better one. It's that we are created by a creator that we need to connect to, because he is greater. He's greater than us. He's greater than all things. He's greater than any other provision or God or any other deity that any other religion may try to push. And so when we think about saying prayers and good vibes, it may seem like it's harmless. But think about this from a Christian standpoint, a Christian point of view. Do you know that Christian, see, we say some words in Christianity that are not in the Bible. We say some words that the meaning of them is in the Bible, but the word itself may not be in there. Like Trinity would be one of these, right? We believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, 3-in-1. Okay, that word Trinity is not in the Word of God, but the concept, the idea, the doctrine is. Okay, the word Christian is actually in the Word of God. In Acts 11:26 is the first time. It says, and when he had found him, they're talking about Barnabas finding Saul, who they would call Paul. They brought him into Antioch. So it was for a whole year they assembled with the church, and they taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So speaking of Paul, it says he comes back. They, for a whole year, these leaders, it could kind of be like if we were to bring, you know, John Sprecher and Dave Ogren, our elders from the FCA, bring them here, and they stayed here for a whole year and ministered to the church. They taught the church. They gathered with them, teaching them the things of Christ. And it says, and the disciples. What are disciples? It's simply a learner, right? A pupil, a student. Okay, so they take these students, these people who are willing to learn, and they teach them the things of Christ. And it says this is where they were first called Christians. You might be shocked to realize that Peter, James, John, as they're walking around following Jesus, they weren't called Christians yet, right? But here we see they're called Christians, which means a follower of Christ. It's not just that we follow his way, but that we follow him because he is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is all that we need. So why can't we pray and also, you know, do a nice thing for maybe somebody who's an unbeliever by sending good vibes? Because if we're a believer of Christ, this is what it means. It means the Spirit of God is sanctifying us day by day by day by his grace. What does that mean, that he's sanctifying us? It means that he's setting us apart day by day by day. He's setting us apart for his use in this world. And if you stand with Jesus, listen, by default, you should be in opposition to the world's systems. You should be in opposition to those things that are kind of like Christianity, but they're not actually something that Jesus would do or teach, because they don't help. And listen, Jesus is more than enough. He is more than enough. You know, and I think there are times where we say that good vibes because maybe you're saying it to a unbeliever, or you're saying it to somebody who you're not sure where they're at spiritually, and you don't want to be offensive. But listen, Jesus is the truth, okay? And if we're not sharing things and sharing them in truth, what is the point, right? Because if they don't have a revelation of who he is, who cares if they just feel good for today? Don't we want them to be able to be set free and have real comfort and real joy and real peace, something that transcends our understanding, that in the midst of what I'm going through, somehow, some way, I feel okay? That's what Jesus gives us. Listen, good vibes don't give you that. Jesus gives you that, and he is more than enough. Isaiah 42, verse 8, he said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. He says, that is my name. He won't give it to anybody else. He won't share it with anybody else. Some of you guys may remember it might have been the very first message I ever preached. I preached about the throne and about who's on your throne. Right, there's a lot of times we like to kind of share it with God, and God says no. He says, I am the Lord, right? I am the Lord. That's my name. I am God, and you are not. Jesus is not one of many gods. He's not just a superior God among inferior gods. He's not even just the best of all the gods. He is the only God. He's the only one, the only one. And I think about if you get in trouble, right? Right now, today, you get in trouble. Whether you did it on your own, whether you're in a wrong place at the wrong time, something happens, next thing you know, you're in handcuffs. And then you're getting hauled to the police station, and you get put in a cell. And they say, Josh, you get one phone call. Just one. Are you going to call somebody that might make you feel good about your situation? Or are you going to call somebody that can come and get you out? That's the difference between good vibes and praying to an almighty God. One might make you feel good for a moment. The other one can get you out and set you free. And so we've got to think about that, church. We got to think about, when I get in a spot, who am I going to call? It ain't Ghostbusters. It's Holy Ghost. All right? And we think about calling him because he can do something about our situations. Good vibes might make you feel good for a moment, but the God of all of creation can do something about any and every situation that we are in. Why should we trust in vibes? Why should we trust in something that doesn't have any power? It doesn't have any power to overcome. And this, again, is an area that seems harmless, but I'm just telling you, church, it's a tactic of the enemy. This is why we call it spiritual plagiarism. It's like he takes this thing. If the enemy can get us to send good vibes out instead of sending prayers up, he knows that he's pointing us away from the power of God. He's pointing us away from the power of God, the power of I can do this, right? Away from God and toward self. Ephesians 6:12, you probably know this well, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I know I've used that a few times lately, and maybe a couple in this series, but it's important that we know and realize and understand that there are spiritual forces at work in our lives. And they're at work in areas of our life where sometimes we're blinded and sometimes we think, oh, this is okay, it seems good, it seems harmless, and the enemy's laughing all the way home, right? Because he's like, I've got him. I've got them misdirected. They're pointing them to themselves, to their friends, to the people that can't do anything. And I'm pointing them away from the God who has the power to overcome it all. And church, this, anything that leads us to peace or to a healer or to a savior that isn't Jesus, or anything that leads us to comfort or a teacher that isn't the Holy Spirit, it's leading you astray. It's leading you away. And the problem is, again, it's just a little misdirection. It's just a little twist, a little compromise. And I think that we forget sometimes how fragile we really are. We forget how fragile we really are. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 through 7, Paul says that, "For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ." And he says, "Now we have this treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us." Church, you need someone greater than yourself. You need Jesus. And when he speaks of us, he says, "Now here we are. We have this treasure." What is the treasure? It's the knowledge of God's glory in Jesus Christ. He says, "We have this treasure in clay jars." Why would we have this thing that's so amazing, that's so great, that's so powerful, that's transcendent, that nothing compares to it? Why would we have it in these fragile little jars? Like, why would he do that? Well, he tells us, "So that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us." So the things that God does, people would say, "There's no way you could have done that. There's no way that this could happen. It had to be someone greater and mightier than me." But it speaks of these clay jars. There's times in the Old Testament through a couple of prophets, Jeremiah and Isaiah, where God speaks of himself as this potter, right? And we are what? The clay. He's the potter. We are the clay. Talks about how he formed us. It talks about how he formed Israel. And it talks about how God created us. It's like another way of reinforcing that God got his hands dirty when he made man, that he put something extra into shaping us into his image. But it also speaks of something that is fragile. It also speaks of something that is breakable. It speaks of something that needs to be cared for. Listen, it doesn't make you weak to admit that you need a savior. You're already weak, whether you admit it or not. We're fragile, and we need someone to care for us. It speaks of something that if it's compromised, it can come to a point of not being very useful. And so when you take this clay, you take clay and you put impurities in it, and then the potter forms it into the shape of a jar, and then he takes it and it gets tested. It would still look like the other pottery. It would match. It would look nice. It would have the image of the rest of them. It would seem like it's something useful, like it's something good. But what happens is then it's tested by fire. It's tested by the heat. And this is when it forms into something solid. But if it's got impurities in it, those areas where there are weakness, that jar will crack. It will break. It will become ineffective. And this is what our lives look like when we try to mix the ideals of the world with the truths of God. When we try to mix something like good vibes with our prayers, it's like adding a little bit of dirt into the clay. It's going to crack, and it's going to ruin what could be a perfectly good, effective, and useful jar. And so if you're one that says, "I'm sending good vibes," and you profess Jesus as Lord, stop it. Please, in all honesty, stop it. If someone says to me that, I say, "No, thank you." And it might seem rude, but I'm like, I literally do not want that. I don't want that. You can absolutely pray for me, specifically if you're going to pray in the name of Jesus, amen, because that has power, because I want prayer to be powerful and effective. And now I want to tell you this also. If you tell somebody that you're going to pray for them, pray for them. If you say, I will pray for you, and you don't actually pray for them, you might as well have said good vibes, because what you're doing is not going to be powerful and effective unless you actually pray. You got to actually pray. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, he tells us this about the last days. Does anybody believe that we're in the last days? We're in the last days. This is what he says. But know this, hard times will come in these last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Anybody know anybody like that? Everything's about themselves. Everything's about making as much money as they can. Hello, if this all goes to pot tomorrow, your money is not going to matter. You better be right with Jesus, okay? But lovers of self, this is these Eastern religions, they're all lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So they want what feels good instead of what is good for them. But listen to what it says here at the end. They hold to the form of godliness, but denying its power. And Paul says, avoid these people. Avoid them. Avoid them. If they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, then avoid these people. See, good vibes can seem like a form of godliness, but it's devoid of power. See, it has no power because it doesn't point to Jesus. You guys realize that Jesus is the answer, amen? He is the answer. He's the answer, first of all, to our broken relationship with our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that what he did on the cross, that all of us who are sinners in need of a Savior, that Jesus paid that price on the cross for our sin. He's the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. No one. I mean, people need to get this. No one. There is no other way. There is no other path. There is no other get out of jail free card. Listen, if you ain't calling Jesus, you ain't getting out. Like, if you're not using your one phone call to call Jesus, you're in there for life. You got a life sentence. It doesn't matter what you do. He's the answer. He's also the answer to our guilt and shame. Anybody thankful that Jesus is the answer to our guilt and our shame? Anybody done some bad things in their past? Some terrible things that they're like, man, I wish I knew then what I know now so I could have not done that. Listen, Jesus is the answer to the guilt and the shame. He says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just. That means he's right to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus is the answer to a meaningless existence. Do you know why people get into Eastern religions and they work so hard to try to figure out, tap into this inner power? It's because they have a meaningless existence. That's what they think. They feel like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing. But listen, in Jesus, we have a purpose because he came to give us abundant life. He came to give us abundant life, and we are invited to be a part of his work on this earth. I mean, how amazing is that, that we're invited to be a part of it? See, a lot of us are like, well, I wish he would just do it all. No, he invites us to be a part of it because it means that we have purpose. It means that we have a wonderful, wonderful call upon our lives, and the word tells us that we can do nothing apart from him, but in him we can bear much fruit. That means a lot of good comes from our lives and the things that we do. Jesus is the answer to our worries and our doubts. He's the answer because he's the giver of peace. I mean, like, true peace. Like that true tranquility where, again, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what's going on. There's just something about you that I'm okay with this. Anybody ever been in that place where, like, you should not be okay, but you are? Now, I don't mean like a man where you ask him, are you okay? And he says yes, but you know that he's not. Like, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. I'm saying, like, you know I should be bothered by this, right? If I'm looking at what's in front of me. But because of the peace of God in my life, I'm okay. Like, it doesn't make sense in your mind. And it doesn't make sense to the people around you. They're probably like, you can't be okay. And you're like, trust me, I'm okay. Right? That's the presence of the Spirit of God in your life that makes it okay. Jesus has faced the world and overcome the world and given us his Spirit to be with us, to be present, but also to teach us and to lead us to all truth. He's the answer for our worries and doubts. But then he's also the answer to the problems of the world. Anybody agree that our world is broken? Right? The system is broken. I mean, even in America, right? America, there was probably a point and a time, maybe even in your life, where you thought, man, America is it. Like, we've got stuff figured out. I mean, at least we're better than all the rest. But listen, it's a broken system. It's a broken system because it's still run by sinful, flawed men and women. So it's going to be broken, and there's nothing we can do to fix it. Listen, I'm all about praying for godly leaders. Hallelujah. Let's do that. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not the full answer. It's not just about godly leaders. It's about a godly nation. It's about a true revival upon this land. It's about, I mean, that can start right here. It can start right here. It doesn't have to start in the White House. See, we got this backwards. Remember, everything in the kingdom is backwards. It's not about a trickle-down effect from the White House upon the rest of the nation, because it doesn't matter what's in the White House. Half the country will agree and half the country will disagree. You realize that? No matter who it is, no matter what he stands for, no matter what agenda they're pushing, half will agree and half will disagree, and we still will have disunity. You'll have disunity in possibly in your home, in your workplace, in your church, wherever you go, when it's all based on policy. We don't need something based on policy. We need something based on Jesus. We need revival in the land where people, no matter where they come to know him as Lord and Savior, because the Spirit of the living God is the only thing that can bring true unity to the people of this land. It's only him. He's the answer. There's no vibes we can pool together to make it whole again. It's only Jesus. And that's it. If we could stop this war in Ukraine, right? If right now we could just get it stopped, how long will it be until another one pops up somewhere else? It's not about us controlling one crazy dictator, right? It's not about that. It's about Jesus upon the hearts and the lives of the people of this world. But church, there will be a day when the Prince of Peace will reign and rule again, and he will set all things right. He will set all things right. Hallelujah. But until that day, church, we've got to pray. We have to pray. I've said this before, and I've talked to some of you on the phone and told you, well, I will pray, and a lot of times I'll pray with you on the phone right then and there, because I'm like, there's nothing else I can do. Like, I don't have words that are going to encourage you necessarily. I may try, but I know that I know that I know that the Holy Spirit can come upon you in your situation right here, right now, and make everything okay. I know that he can heal you. I know that he can bring you comfort. I know that he can bring you joy and peace, reconciliation in your relationships, whatever it is that you need. I know that he can do it. And so I will pray. Prayer is the answer. Because when you know Jesus, when he's your Lord and he's your Savior, I think we lose sight of the fact that we have access to the throne room of heaven. It's not just like, you know, you're writing this prayer request down and sending it in the mail, and you're kind of hoping it gets there. Did it get lost in the mail? I'm not getting an answer. Listen, it's like you get to march straight in there to the corporate office, open the door, and say, Dad, this is what I want, right? You have access to the throne room in heaven, and it says that we're to come boldly before the throne of grace. Why boldly? Because we've been given the right. It's kind of like when you go somewhere and the secretary's like, oh, wait a minute, you can't go in there. You'd be like, yeah, I can. You just walk on by. Like, I come boldly because I have the authority to go straight in there to my Father and ask him for what I want, to tell him what's on my heart, and there's nobody in this world that can stop me from doing that. It's access that I have because of what Jesus did on the cross when that veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. It gave us that access straight to the throne room of heaven. Come boldly. 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul said, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. See, words can be empty. Words can be meaningless. But if you've got power and you can attach the words to that power, that's what prayer is. When you got power, power can change things. It's not just the words that you speak, but it's the power that you have access to in Jesus Christ. Church, we don't need good vibes. We need Jesus. Your friends and family don't need good vibes. They need Jesus. I will pray for you in the name of Jesus. How about that? I will pray for you to the God who can change all things because I trust in him and I trust in him alone. Holy, with everything that I have, with everything that I am, it may not make sense to you, but it makes sense to me, and I trust him. I trust him. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. How about that? If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Anything. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. That means we don't stop. That means we continue even if we don't believe it. Even if we're struggling ourselves. I shared a few weeks ago, there's a difference between believing that he will and believing that he can. You just got to start with believing that he can. Do you believe that he can? That's your starting point. If you believe that he can, then you pray anyway. And before you know it, you'll believe that he will. You'll believe that he will. James told us the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. It accomplishes much. Some of you might think, well, I'm not a righteous man. Do you belong to Jesus? If you belong to Jesus, you are justified. You are seen as righteous in the Father's eyes. You are seen as he is, not as you are. And so if you're a righteous man, if you belong to Jesus, the fervent, effectual prayer accomplishes much. You might say, well, my prayers aren't that fiery, right? I don't yell a lot. I'm kind of soft-spoken. I'm going to tell you right now that I've stood right here on a Thursday night prayer, and some of the softest prayers that you can barely hear a word that somebody's saying were the most powerful, where you feel the presence of God in the room and you don't even know what to do. It's not about the tone in your voice. It's not about yelling. It's about the heart behind the prayer, that I believe that my God can do anything, that I have this relationship with him, that I love him to the degree and to a point where I just have full assurance, not in me, but in him. It's that fervent, effectual prayer, that continued, it's more about the passion of the prayer, the heart of the prayer, than it is the words that you're speaking. Church, prayer, see, prayer, a lot of times we make it about us. You know how many people come up to pray into this microphone and how nervous they are? I'm going to tell you, we don't have one person in our prayer rotation. We don't have one person that closes out service, not one of them, that wants to speak into this microphone. And that's a good thing, because this is the thing. It's not about them. We have people that do this who have a heart for the Lord. It's not about them. We're not looking for somebody with great giftings or ability. Just like you crazy people weren't whenever you hired me, right? I had only preached like once in my life. I don't know what is wrong with you people, but it's not about giftings and ability. It's about heart and passion for Jesus Christ. And then God can provide all of those other things and grow you in all of those other things. It's about our heart. And so prayer is based on God's love for us. That because I have received his love, because of what he has done in my life, I, as a child of God, can come to my compassionate Father and trust him to care for all of my needs. To trust him to care for all of my needs. When we pray to the Lord, right, church, this is also worship. That's why we pray when we do, in the midst of worship. It's because it is worship. It's this time where we recognize him for who he is, that he is the one. He is the one. It's all about Jesus. Would you guys stand with me this morning? I know you have needs in your life. I want to pray for you. That Father, right now, we just thank you and praise you for your word. God, we thank you, God, that you created us for relationship with you. Father, we thank you that we have, through Jesus Christ, an open door to the throne room of heaven. Lord, that we, as we pray to you and we come before you and we wait in your presence, that God, we have full assurance, Lord, that you hear our prayers. God, we thank you that are the one who can truly do all things, that you are the answer to every care in our lives, to everything that weighs us down, to everything that ails us, to everything that our friends and our families need. Lord, we don't need good vibes in this place. We need more of you. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask for more of your presence, for a greater measure of your presence in each and every one of our lives. But Lord, we know where that begins. It begins with us giving our heart to you, having a passion for you, for seeking you, for pursuing you. Lord, you're already seeking us. You're already pursuing us. It's us coming to meet with you. And so, Lord, would you give us that passion for you, that desire. This is what Jake was talking about earlier, that desire, Lord, to constantly seek and pursue you first. Not just when we need something, not just to call when I'm in trouble and I need a rescue. But Lord, we want to be so in tune with you, God, that you already know our troubles before they begin. God, that you're already there. We're already reliant on you before they begin. Holy Spirit, will you have your way with us? Will you draw us close today? That every need in our lives today, we lift up.